Tuesday's front page, Europe is inching reluctantly toward a financial union. Officials there got out the history books and looked to colonial America to make the point, join together or risk collapse. The Obama administration prosecuted a government translator who's accused of giving a blogger secret transcripts. We'll find out what was in them. And the disconnect between Damascus and the rest of Syria. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says Europe appears to be inching closer to a more centralized financial union. That would eventually turn the Eurozone into something resembling a United States of Europe. So far, this is still largely behind the scenes. Officials say overhauling the way Europe coordinates government spending, taxes, and deficits will take time. It'll also require changes in the treaties governing the euro, but they say they have to move together to avoid a breakdown. Investors continue to fret about Europe's debt crisis and the U.S. economy. The stock market in this country was closed on Monday, but bank stocks led the declines in Europe. Royal Bank of Scotland was down more than 12%. Barclays, Deutsche Bank, and Societe Generale all fell more than 6%. Last year, an FBI translator pleaded guilty to leaking classified information to a blogger. It was the Obama administration's first prosecution for leaking to the news media, and it's now clear why there was so much secrecy surrounding the case. The translator had passed along transcripts of what the FBI heard when it eavesdropped on the Israeli embassy in Washington. Blogger Richard Silverstein says the FBI overheard American supporters of Israel and at least one member of Congress. He says he burned the transcripts in his backyard when he heard the translator was being investigated. Tuesday's front page looks at the disconnect between Damascus and the rest of Syria. Protests against the government of Bashar al-Assad have been breaking out across Syria, but in Damascus, there's satisfaction at the government's determination to stamp out dissent. There's also denial that the uprising will change anything. In Damascus, the thinking is Syria's leaders won't go the way of leaders in Egypt and Tunisia until protests reach the capital. When federal regulators moved to close the problem-plagued kidney transplant program at University Medical Center in Las Vegas 3 years ago, Nevada Congresswoman Shelley Berkeley went to bat. She said a shutdown would harm patients. But her action also benefited her husband. He's a physician whose practice directs the medical services at the hospital's kidney care department. That arrangement expanded after she intervened. It's now covered by a contract worth $738,000 a year. Times reporter Eric Lipton says that wasn't the only time she's pushed legislation or done some arm twisting that's helped her husband's business interests. In the last few months, Google Places has declared many perfectly healthy businesses dead. Google Places said they're closed for good. The reason is it's surprisingly easy to report a business closed on Google Places, which is Google's version of the local Yellow Pages. Search consultants say many business owners have no idea they've been cyber padlocked, and fixing the problem can be difficult. A Google spokesman wouldn't comment on whether the company keeps a running tally of fraudulent closings, but he said Google is working on changes. Now here's a back-to-school math problem that'll make getting into Harvard look easy. There are 62 kindergarten seats at Manhattan's Trinity School. 756 children wanted them. What percentage got in? You're good at math, so you probably said 8.2%. Try 2.4. Here's why. Of those 62 spots, 45 were claimed by brothers and sisters of other Trinity students, along with children of alumni and also one staff member. That left 17 places. Tuesday's Times says Trinity and other elite New York schools are beginning to change long-standing admissions practices as they try to balance things like institutional loyalty against a diverse student body. And for the record, the acceptance rate at Harvard is 6.2%. Inside Tuesday's Times, Republican presidential candidates spent Labor Day talking up their allegiance to limited government. They were trying to demonstrate credibility with the Tea Party movement at a forum in South Carolina. They also lashed out at President Obama's economic policies as they prepared for a televised debate in California on Wednesday. Texas Governor Rick Perry skipped the forum. He went home to deal with wildfires. More than 60 have ravaged thousands of acres, burning hundreds of homes and killing several people. In a first, 20 public schools in Houston are adopting the techniques of charter schools to see if they can help raise achievement. So far, the results are mixed. Lee High School posted double-digit gains on state tests last spring, but four other schools that tried charter techniques remain on the state's unacceptable list. GM wants to sell the Chevy Volt in China. The Volt is GM's plug-in electric car, but the Chinese government is refusing to approve subsidies totaling $19,000 a car unless GM hands over some of its engineering secrets. Some international trade experts say China's risking violating World Trade Organization rules if it goes ahead with that requirement. Tuesday's Times profiles lawyer Jennifer McCann. She specializes in psychiatric defense strategies. She's now defending Levy Aaron, who's accused of kidnapping and murdering an 8-year-old boy in Borough Park, Brooklyn. So far, Ms. McCann has been defending herself as much as her client. The judge questioned her experience. At Aaron's arraignment last month, she told distraught Jewish community members outside the courtroom her client was no different than any accused killer or drunken driver. He, too, had rights. That's our preview of Tuesday's Times. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. You can send your comments about the Front Page Podcast to podcasts@nytimes.com. That's podcasts with an S on the end at nytimes.com. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.